Live all across the United States and Canada and around the world, we're on the air because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as we get this broadcast going today, I want to spend just a few moments telling you about an experience that I had these last 7 days as I spent time with a couple and their children. The father, who had spent almost 14 years in a communist prison camp. And I saw the testimony of a man who had truly suffered for the sake of Jesus Christ. And yet I heard his testimony without an ounce of self-pity, grateful to live the crucified life, to be a testimony for Jesus Christ in our epoch of time. A testimony that led to the salvation of even prison guards. And then when I got back to my office this morning, early on I began writing about what happened in the second century before Jesus Christ, when the armed forces of Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes rose up against the temple fortress, abolished the daily sacrifice, and then set up an abomination that causes desolation. And how Hellenized Jews in mass took on the mark of the Greco-Syrian beast. How they sacrificed to idols and profaned the Sabbath. How they erected a desolating sacrilege on the altar of burnt offering. Why? Because they were willing to honor the god of libido and self-gratification, not willing to stand because truth matters. Those who honored the god of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob met a grisly and gruesome fate. I was reading early this morning the intertestamental book of Maccabees, replete with accounts of their sacrifice. I was arrested by the story of seven brothers and their mother who were willing to die rather than transgress the laws of their ancestors. And as I read the story, in light of having spent the last 7 days with a person who had endured imprisonment in communist China, I was riveted by the story, by torture with whips and thongs. Antiochus tried to make them partake of unlawful swine's flesh. And when they refused, he fell into a rage and gave orders to have pans and cauldrons heated. He commanded that the tongue of their spokesman be cut out, that they scalp him and cut off his hands and his feet. All the while, the rest of the brothers and the mother looked on. And while yet breathing, Antiochus caused him to be fried in a pan. And then after the first brother had died, they brought forward the second for their sport. They tore off the skin of his head and asked him, "Will you eat rather than have your body punished limb by limb?" He replied in the language of his brother and said, "No." And therefore he in turn underwent tortures as the first brother had done. And when he was at his last breath, he said, "You dismiss us from this present life, but the King of the universe will raise us up as an everlasting renewal of life because we have died for his laws. Likewise, after the third brother had fallen victim to their sport, he courageously stretched forth his hands and said nobly, "I got these hands from heaven, and because of his laws I disdain them, and from him I hope to get them back." The fourth brother, when near death, in like fashion cried out, "One cannot but choose to die at the hands of mortals, and to cherish the hope that God gives of being raised again by him. But for you, there will be no resurrection to life." After murdering the fifth and sixth brothers, Antiochus turned a malevolent gaze on the last of the brothers. He promised with oaths that he would make him rich and enviable if he would but turn from the ways of his ancestors, and that he would take him for his friend and trust him with public affairs. Filled with a noble spirit, the mother cried out, "Do not fear this butcher, but prove worthy of your brothers. Accept death, so that in God's mercy I may get you back again, along with your brothers." While she was still speaking, the young man said, "What are you waiting for? I will not obey the king's command, but I obey the command of the law that was given to our ancestors through Moses. But you, who have contrived all sorts of evil against the Hebrews, will certainly not escape the hands of God." After regaling him, an unholy wretch and the most defiled of all mortals, he yet entreated Antiochus, saying, "Do not be elated in vain and puffed up by uncertain hopes when you raise your hand against the children of heaven. You have not yet escaped the judgment of the Almighty, the all-seeing God, for our brothers, after enduring a brief suffering, have drunk of ever-flowing life. But you, by the judgment of God, will receive just punishment for your arrogance. I, like my brothers, give up body and life for the laws of our ancestors, appealing to God to show mercy soon to our nation, and by trials and plagues, to make you confess that he alone is God, and through me and my brothers to bring to an end the wrath of the Almighty that has justly fallen on our nation." And upon hearing those words, Antiochus fell into a monstrous rage, brutalizing the last of the brothers in a fashion that exceeded all the others. And yet, the young man and his mother died in integrity, putting their whole trust in the Lord. Reading about persecution in the 2nd century B.C., under Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, the Old Testament Antichrist, and then seeing suffering in the present age, up close and personal, during the last week, and knowing that right now in communist China, there are Chinese brothers and sisters who are suffering for the cause of Christ, causes me to ask all of you today what you would do in a similar circumstance. The answer to that question is found in resurrection. Do you believe in resurrection? Or do you just say you believe in resurrection? If you most certainly believe in resurrection, then you know, like the seven brothers and their mother, like the man and his family that I spent last week with, that this life is a vapor, that eternity is forever. And as a result, we live not for mean earthly vanities, but rather for eternal verities. We count not our lives worthy even unto death. the answer to the question of martyrdom and suffering is resurrection. And we believe in resurrection because there was a Christ who we celebrate this Christmas, who invaded time and space, who lived the perfect life that we could never live, and offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift, a gift we cannot earn or deserve, a gift for which we can merely reach out the hands of a beggar and receive the gift of a king. In my book, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, I talk about Jesus Christ, his coming to earth in the first advent, and the certainty that he will come again in the second advent and gather us to himself in a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, a day in which there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away, and all things will become new. In the meantime, you and I have the opportunity to make a difference while there is yet time. We are not in communist prison camps. We are not under the second century Antichrist Antiochus IV Epiphanes. We are not as yet facing death. But all of us, each and every day, are called to take a stand. Are you willing to do that for Christ? Or do you blush with embarrassment when someone points at you and says, he's a Christian or she's a Christian, maybe as a student in school or a parent in the workplace? Do you stand for the cause of Christ, the Christ of Christmas, the Christ of Easter, the Christ of resurrection? Or do you blush with embarrassment? This Christmas season, we are urging you to know what you have given your life to. Again, it's one of the reasons I wrote The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, so that Christ is not a word to you. That the cross is not merely a piece of jewelry dangling around your neck, but a deep and abiding reality that you understand from the very depth of your being, a reality for which you are willing to give your life. We have taken at the Christian Research Institute stands that have caused persecution and suffering, all of which pales by comparison to what I experienced this week when I saw a man who had spent 14 years in prison. And I think what a small stand we take in America today when we're asked to give sacrificially because truth matters. When we so often consider our own personal pleasures more significant than the pleasure of eternity, our sensibilities are so skewed, so out of whack, so out of priority. And this Christmas season, I speak to myself as I speak to you, are we willing to give not just our treasure, but our time and our talent for the cause of Jesus Christ? This Christmas season, are we willing to use a Christmas wreath or a Christmas tree or a star or a gift as a springboard or an opportunity for sharing the gift that is not just temporary, but the gift that is eternal? The reason we do what we do at the Christian Research Institute is because we are firmly convinced that every single person drawing breath will spend eternity either separated from the love and grace of God or united to the glory and goodness and grace and enduring presence of our Redeemer in a new heaven and a new earth where indwells righteousness, and that you must be equipped to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. That is why we ask you to stand with us as monthly support team members, making a difference because truth matters. Stand with us. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by speaking to resource consultants right now, 888-7000 CRI. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Since the beginning of the modern environmental movement, secular environmentalists have claimed that historic Christianity is largely responsible for today's environmental problems. The issue, however, is not what Christians think or how they behave. It's what the Bible teaches with regard to environmental stewardship. Should Christians be concerned about the environment, and to what extent? Dan Story answers this very question. The average American spends some 5 hours a day watching television. As a dominant cultural medium, television deserves serious attention from apologists who wish to demonstrate the difference between ideas promoted in popular culture and those within the Christian worldview. Author and media critic Robert Velarde demonstrates how to use this medium to reach our society and defend your faith. All of this and more can be found in the pages of the Christian Research Journal. To start your subscription today, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. Don't change the station. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast in a moment. For over 50 years, the Christian Research Institute has been entirely supported by people who've been blessed by our resources and choose to share that blessing with others. None of this would be possible without you. We know that a monthly gift is a big commitment. Not only is it a financial sacrifice, but when life itself gets busy, it can be hard remembering to send your gift each month. And that's why we've created simple, secure, automated giving opportunities through your credit or debit card. And to thank you for this service that you perform that is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God, you will receive a free subscription to our award-winning magazine, The Christian Research Journal. To sign up today to become a Bible Answer Man support team member, go online to equip.org or call us at 888-7000-CRI.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, an ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options. The Christian Research Institute, we're celebrating our 50th year of ministry. Because of God's provision through His people, we have proclaimed it our year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25:10 says, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you." Although we're living in financially difficult times, God has been faithful for 50 years. And we continue to place our trust in Him, realizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. If you have been blessed by the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, will you please consider a special year-end gift so that we can not only meet our budget by December 31st, but also expand our outreach in the coming year? To send your gift today, just call 888-7000-CRI or log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
And we'll go right to your questions. First up today, although we spent the first segment on talking about the time I spent this week with a man in prison who had been imprisoned by the Communist Chinese, now out of prison, I want to spend the rest of the broadcast talking to you and answering your questions. Next up, on the Bible Answer Man broadcast today, then, is Dana in Canoga Park, California. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Hank. I just finished reading your book, Christianity in Crisis, the 21st Century. That's an excellent, excellent book. I'm going to recommend it to my friends.
Thank you.
In that book, you recommend the NIV translation of the Bible, which is one that I rely upon, and I love the NIV. But how can theologians call the Bible the inerrant Word of God? Like, you look in the NIV, there's passages where the NIV calls these certain passages in the New Testament into question. You know, it says, like, you know, this passage is not in the earlier text, you know. So, I mean, you can't call the Bible the inerrant Word of God. It is the Word of God, okay, but it's not the inerrant Word of God.
Well, you're touching on a truth, but only in part. It is true that we cannot call the translations like the NIV or the King James Version or any other translation inerrant. What we are saying as Christians is that the autographa is inerrant and that the translations that we have today are facsimiles of the autographa. And here's what we mean. If you look at all of the different manuscripts, there are, with respect to just the New Testament alone, some 5,664 manuscripts, and no doubt as I'm speaking, more manuscripts are being discovered. Through the science of textual criticism, you can compare one manuscript with another manuscript and one manuscript family with other manuscript families, and through that science of textual analysis, you can get back to the autographa. So it is true that all of the manuscripts have errors, but they don't all have the same errors, and therefore, by comparing manuscript with manuscript, you can get back to a rendering of what the original manuscripts would have said. The other thing that's really important to recognize is that the errors that are in view are typically errors of style and spelling, not errors of substance. And therefore, no part of the Word of God is compromised in any way. The newer translations are being very honest with the manuscript evidence and saying that there are portions that have been typically included in our Bibles that are not found in the best manuscripts, and therefore they place those portions in question.
Yeah. Okay, it's just like when, you know, ministers are always talking about the inerrancy and the infallibility of the Bible, and then you open up your NIV, And it says, well, this section is not in the earlier manuscript.
Right, but remember, when they say that, they are speaking in context about the Autographa. That's the point.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, and I will continue to support your ministry.
Well, thank you, Dana. Appreciate your call so much. God bless you this Christmas season. May you be a witness for Christ. We want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Nellie in Leonardtown, Maryland. Hi, Nellie.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. Would you please spell that Autographa for me, please?
Well, just think of an autograph.
Oh.
That's the idea behind Autographa.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Yeah, it's spelled AUTOGRAPHA. Yes.
Oh, okay. I think you just about answered my question to that guy, because I go to a church and they just think that the King James Version is the only version of the Bible. And I have both yours and Dr. Adrian Rogers, along with your testimony. And I just cannot believe God Almighty would have allowed anything errors so far as, like you say, substance.
Yeah.
And
that's right. I mean, the King James Version is a good version of the Bible, but it was commissioned in 1604 by King James I and completed in 1611.
That's the one they use. They brag about the 1611.
Right. But, you know, when they say the 1611, you have to ask this question: which one of the 1611 versions are they talking about? Because there were three versions in 1611 alone. And there have been other versions along the way. And the truth of the matter is, again, while the King James Version was a good version, it would and did, was able to withstand the sands of time, as it were. But what's happened is the English language has gone through a transition. So there are words
that's what Dr. Adrian Rogers explains is his. Well, I've read both yours and his, but I just wanted to know your feelings about it, and I really liked what you said about mostly the errors in spelling, not errors in
substance. Yeah, well, you are a very good listener, Nellie. I appreciate you calling, and I appreciate your comments.
I'm very interested in, the Lord's just put such a desire in my heart or whatever the last 6 or 8 months, and I just am very interested in learning. Of course, I love to learn anyway. But another thing, they are hung up on this women in dresses, and I looked it up in the Bible, and the only reference I could find was Deuteronomy 22:5, and
Well, they're completely misguided in that, because the dress of men and women in Old Testament and New Testament vernacular wasn't all that different. It was a matter of embroidering and so forth. So the whole notion of dress is not to be a legalistic prescription, but it is to follow those principles of modesty and propriety and so forth. And so we are to dress in a way that is modest, that doesn't attract attention to ourselves in an improper way. And we're also not to blur the distinction between the sexes. That's the whole point. A woman should still regale her femininity, resplendent, I should say, in her femininity as a man in his masculinity. And we shouldn't blur those distinctions. That's the biblical warrant, the biblical admonition, and that's really what the Bible's getting at in terms of dress. And then the King James Version only people oftentimes do take this to extreme, and they're very legalistic about the dress, and they forget, in trying to keep the letter of the law, the substance or the meaning of the law.
Yeah. By the way, I really appreciate that story you told at the beginning of your program. It was very, very wonderful.
Well, thank you, Nellie. I appreciate your call today.
To talk to that young man. Thank you so much for your time. I just wish I called the other day and they said you used to be on Wava. So I put something on Facebook And hopefully we can get some support and get you back up here.
Hey, thank you, Nellie. That's the goal
in
2011.
Thank you so much.
Of course, bye. That's exactly what we're trying to do. We had to make some cuts this year, and we are in the process of overcoming a mountain of debt. We're getting ready to scale the summit. A lot of people standing with us. If you can be one of those people, it would be deeply appreciated, much needed. If you can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, we'll send you the next six issues of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you. You can join online at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. It is always by talking to our resource consultant, 888-7000-CRI. And if you can make a generous gift, we would also like to send you one of our resources, including one of the resources that I think would be most helpful to you, not only this year, but in the years to come, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. It gives you the substance behind what we celebrate this Christmas. It's also important to recognize in context of Nellie's call that the King James Version has gone through transition. There's now the new King James Version that takes into account some changes that have been discovered as a more complete knowledge of biblical languages has been attained, and also, as we have found, more and better manuscripts. But the one thing we can always rely on is that God has preserved His Word. Over time, I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Brace, listening in Tyler, Texas. Hi, Brace.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
First of all, it's like the, excuse me, thank you for your ministry and all you guys for us.
Well, thank you.
And I had a question about
I think we're having some phone difficulties here with this call. If you can hold on, Brace, perhaps we can get back to you later on, if we can get the phone technicalities cleared up. I want to go to Ryan, listening on Bot Radio in Topeka, Kansas. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. I was wondering, I was listening to a evolutionist try and say that the Bible contradicts itself. In Genesis 1, it says God created Adam and Eve at the same time. And in the second chapter, it says that He made man first. Could you, explain that to me?
Yeah, this is a typical ranting of fundamentalists from the left who do not know how to read literature in general, and the Bible in particular. Genesis chapter 1 does not give us a chronology of creation. It gives us a hierarchy of creation that ends in the crowning jewel of God's creation, which is humankind. Genesis chapter 2 is meant to give us a fix on how God takes the crowning jewel of His creation and gives Him the direction for tending the garden, fulfilling the cultural mandate that we have, which is to take care and tend the garden that God has given to us. So there is no contradiction whatsoever between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. It is only when you read it in the style that fundamentalists from the left read it and then miss its meaning. If you read any kind of literature in that way, you're going to miss the meaning of whatever other literature you read, whether it's a newspaper or a history book. You have to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth by applying the art and science of biblical interpretation, which I talk about in a little booklet available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
What is it about wills and trusts that makes us uncomfortable? Even we as believers find that about 70% of us do not have a current will. But of course, 100% of us are going to be enjoying eternity with the Lord. I've heard it said that a charitable estate plan may be the single greatest act of stewardship in our entire life. It's both a privilege and a responsibility to be taken seriously. The Christian Research Institute is delighted to provide an estate plan organizer on our website that makes this process both informative and easy.
Once you've filled out the organizer, you can have it reviewed for any suggestions or additional assistance, and you can receive a referral to a Christian attorney in your state that can help you put the documents in place at a reduced rate. To have our friends at PhilanthroCorp contact you to see if a gift annuity is right for you, go to our website at www.equip.org and click on the Donate Now button, and then click on Planned Giving. Don't touch that dial. The Bible Answer Man will return right after these messages.
It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The number of patients seeking plastic surgery has skyrocketed in the past decade. In his article titled Self-Esteem from a Scalpel, The Ethics of Plastic Surgery, Richard J. Poupard explains how we can discern when it is appropriate to seek the aid of plastic surgery. The new atheists call God's commands to kill the Canaanites genocide. Yet a closer look at the horror of the Canaanites' sinfulness reveals that God's reason for commanding their death was not genocide, but capital punishment, as described by Clay Jones. Other articles include Should Christians Be Environmentalist? The Negative Effects of Margaret Sanger, Television as the New Literature, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcast. All this and more when you go to equip.org. Once again, the address is equip.org. And now, let's return to the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And it occurs to me as well that you could do your Christmas shopping at equip.org. You still have a little bit of time left to do your Christmas shopping at equip.org as well. For your gift of $100 or more, I will personalize a copy as a gift to a family member or friend or someone that you know of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, or any of my other books, I'd be happy to do that for you this Christmas season. It's a way of giving to your friends, equipping them, as well as supporting the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, 100% of the proceeds go to this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Joe, listening on Bot Radio in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Joe.
Good evening, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Great. First thing I want to do is I want to definitely express what a blessing you are to me. I've basically had a fasting against the world as far as like movies, news, TV. Only thing I've been doing is listening to the radio. And I just appreciate everything that you do, and I just wanted to just let you know about that.
Oh, bless you.
I had a question, Hank. I was speaking with my pastor. My wife and I, we've been separated 3 months, is this biblically living outside the will of God for us to be separated like that? And I'd also like to know the biblical basis for divorce.
Well, I think the ultimate goal for you and your wife, though you are separated now, is for restoration. And as long as that door is open, you want to try to walk through that doorway. There are obvious ways in which that door can be closed. Well, let's say that your wife married someone else, Lord forbid, or your wife died, then those doors have been closed. But as long as there is a possibility for reconciliation, that is always the goal of the Christian. Now, the grounds for divorce given in the Bible are twofold. The first is desertion, and the second is adultery. Not necessarily in that order, but both of those grounds are given. But yet we see contextually in the Bible that those grounds are given because of the hardness of our hearts. So we don't want to use them as an excuse. In fact, the reason those grounds are given is because men in biblical times would often put their wife away for any or every reason. And they would appeal to all kinds of legalistic maneuvers in order to do that. And Jesus and the apostles want to make plain that that is not the Christian ethic. Women are not chattel or property, which we can put away when they're slightly used. They're rather to be honored and empowered by our love and our faithful commitment, and vice versa as well. So there is an article in the Christian Research Journal that I find extraordinarily helpful in this regard, which I would be happy to send to you. It's titled Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage.
Okay. That'd be great. And I also have just another quick question, if it wouldn't be too much to impose on you.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I've expressed to her in a very calm and loving way that I felt like I've been shoved to the back burner, which it always ends up in being in some kind of a, she takes offense to it. She told me last night that her problem was that she hasn't sought after God. And I tried to explain to her it's because of the types of Christian programs that she's watching on TV, like T.D. Jakes, Jesse Duplantis and stuff like that, which the only thing they're, from what I understand, from what my pastor's told me, is only the gospel that they're preaching is the gospel of their pocketbook.
Well, it is a prosperity gospel in which Jesus Christ becomes a means to an end as opposed to being the end, and people are invited to the master's table not for the love of the master, but rather because of what is on the master's table. And it is very much giving to get. T.D. Jakes makes that very clear. If you're not giving to get, he makes it clear there's no sense in giving at all. In fact, he calls it preposterous to give if you're not giving to get. So the kind of teaching that comes in the prosperity movement oftentimes causes people to turn away from self-sacrifice and suffering and an eternal perspective to living for the here and now as opposed to living for eternity. And so I could see that that could become a rift, but it can also become a springboard or an opportunity by which you can do what you're doing, share the grace and love and truth that comes through a genuine Christian worldview. But remember, you have to first love with your life And then that oftentimes opens up an opportunity to love with your lips as well. And so hopefully you'll be able to demonstrate the reality of what you're experiencing in Christ, your devotion to Him, and that will be something that ends up not repelling, but rather reaching and unifying you and solidifying your marriage. And again, we'll be happy to send this article from the Christian Research Journal to you. I think it'd be very, very instructive and helpful.
Okay, that'd be fine. So how can I help her outside of just praying and intercession for her to encourage her? Is there any scriptures that I can further study and maybe dissect that I can, it'll help me as the husband to be more encouraging to her to get off the couch and come to church with me, and so we can praise the Lord as one?
Yes, I think there are a lot of things in that regard that I would, in your situation, become more and more conversant with, not to use them as a sledgehammer or a way of beating her over the head, but rather as a way of reaching her. I mean, the goal is to reach, not to repel. I've laid all of that out in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Have you heard of that?
No, sir.
Yeah, I think that would be extraordinarily helpful for you. I've written that book with the kind of situation that you have in mind.
Okay, and what was the name of the book
again? It's called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
Okay.
And it is available. You can just check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
Okay, I sure will. And thank you so much for taking my call. And y'all have a Merry Christmas.
You too, Joe. Thank you so much for calling. Back to the phone lines. David next, listening on WAVA in College Park, Missouri. Hi, David.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. A couple of guys in my church wanted to get together for and go through a book on Christian disciplines.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the book yet, but they mentioned the author was Richard Foster.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking up Richard Foster on the internet, and I don't know if I have the identity mixed up, but the Richard Foster that wrote this book, Celebration of Discipline, there's various reviews of his material. Some are saying he's really into mysticism, but if I go and I actually look at like a description of one of his books, it just says that, you know, he's revolutionary in his teaching and helps draw you closer to God.
Well, I think if you are a mature Christian that can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light, his book could be very helpful for you. The problem with his book is not that he's not a Christian or not that he is not attempting to read right from a perspective of a Christian worldview, but he appears to lack discernment between authentic and counterfeit spirituality. And therefore, he gives as experts on devotional living people who are involved in occultism and existentialism and so forth, and that becomes somewhat problematic, and therefore we've always added a note of caution that if you're going to read the book, you need to be one that has exercised discernment skills and knows how to exercise those sharply. So we're not saying that you cannot gather or glean something helpful in that study. You just want to do it with discernment.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, just to be clear, some of the things that I had read were that he invites you to explore the spiritual world, and one of the reviews I read said, well, the way he asks you to do that, you don't know whether you're going to be getting in touch with a spirit other than the Spirit of God. That's going to be
right, and then again is because he cites as experts on devotional life, Pantheists like Meister Eckhart and Rufus Jones. And you also have people who are spiritually questionable, like Martin Buber and Morton Kelsey and so forth. And again, if you don't have good discernment and you're not grounded, you can easily be led into compromising positions on experiencing Christ or experiencing the crucified life, enjoying Christ and the like.
Okay, so what you're saying is that his goal truly is for you to have a more personal walk with God by experiencing the Spirit of God in a different way, but
right. I mean, I cannot judge his motives. From what I can tell, he is a born again believer who loves the Lord and honors the Bible, but some of what he advances, I'm saying, is questionable. But what I am also saying is that I think it's important for us as believers to watch our life and doctrine closely, very much as Paul exhorted Timothy. So we have two tracks that we want the Christian life on. The one track is correct doctrine, but we do not want to forget that we have the opportunity to live a crucified life, experience and enjoy Jesus Christ as well. So both tracks are necessary for the overcoming Christian life. And I think to that extent, you can find some helpful information in celebrating the disciplines that Jesus Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn. I write about that in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. I talk about how you can embrace the spiritual disciplines that Jesus Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn. Unfortunately, I have to leave it at that because I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The time has just flown by. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. A lot of people already hanging on. Stick with me. I'll get to you. And if you want to get your question answered during the next hour right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we'll play that on a future edition of the show when I'm traveling. Just give me a call right now at 888-ASK-HANK. You can start calling that number right now, 888-ASK-HANK. For the next hour, I'll be staying right here in the studio answering your questions. So long for now. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for joining us today for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to help you understand complex Bible passages, to help you grow closer to God, and to equip you to defend the faith in our culture. And part of that commitment is to offer resources to you that will accomplish that. So contact us today. Call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. Christmas is the tremendous news that little baby Jesus came as God in flesh. Hank Hanegraaff has penned a hardbound devotional taking the truths of the Christmas story and turning them into traditions. In the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each devotion is beautifully presented and complemented with an appropriate Christmas carol and thought-provoking questions. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 daily devotions that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas carol CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends. That's equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.